If you come along to our evening service, you will probably know that I spoke about Thomas a few weeks ago, but I spoke about him alongside Abraham and called it Conversations with God. I thought about Abraham and how he questioned God and didn't always believe God, but God was patient with him, answering his questions and reassuring him and making an agreement with him. And I began to think of how the two compare. I compared the conversations they had. Thomas's, who to me was just questioning, just like Abraham was. And yet Abraham is listed among that great long list that we heard in Hebrews, and there's a lot more after that. He is in that list of people who trusted and had faith. Yet he asked questions too. I always think it's a little bit unfair to Thomas in a way. He's got this title, Thomas the Doubter. And yet there's so much more to him. So I got to explore the man we call the Doubter. I think John, who wrote this gospel, must have had a thing for Thomas, because he's the only one that tells us a bit more about Thomas. He tells us how he acted, how he behaved. There are three mentions of Thomas in the Bible, and they are all in John's gospel. And the other two mentions seem to show a different side to him. First, we see a man of courage. In John 11:14-16, it says, "So then he told them plainly," this is Jesus, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." That we may die with him. This wasn't a doubting man. This was a man of courage. Why did Thomas say this? Why did he think that they might die with him if they went to Lazarus? Because they had to go to Bethany, just 2 miles from Jerusalem, where Jesus, as we know already, was a marked man. The Pharisees were already conspiring to have him killed, and the disciples knew it. And yet Thomas was willing. He may be known as a doubter, but he was devoted, even courageous, even if it meant death. Secondly, Thomas always wanted to be close to where Jesus was, to understand and to question. Have you ever been that person who asked the question that everyone else is thinking? You stand there and you think, what is he talking about? And you think, it must be just me. And then you ask the question and everybody nudges you and says, that's just what I wanted to know. I think that Thomas was that person who asked the question that everybody else was thinking about. Again, John 14:1-6. Jesus speaking, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Can you hear the disciples whispering already? What is he talking about? Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Thomas wanted to understand, and so Jesus answered Thomas's question because it was a sincere question. God answers the questions of those who sincerely seek answers. God answers the questions of those who sincerely seek answers. We know enough about Thomas now to know that he was a thinker, a courageous man. So why wasn't he with the disciples when Jesus first appeared to the disciples. The disciples themselves were fearful and didn't seem to be expecting Jesus, but they stayed together. I don't think at that point they were really waiting for something to happen. They were supporting each other. Maybe it's the way I think or something, but I believe that Thomas wasn't with them because he was going through all sorts of emotions. Why did Jesus die? It was so confusing. Anger at himself for not sticking with Jesus. What happens now? Now, those of us that are introverts will recognise that Thomas was a true introvert. He needed to take himself away from the disciples and reflect on what had happened. I'd never thought about this before. It was only as I started to reflect on Thomas that I thought, yes, that's how an introvert would react. How God meets us in who we are. Those of you that will remember John Peel, who used to be a member of this church, died not so long ago. Thomas was one of his heroes. He really thought Thomas was great. And I can understand why he thought Thomas was great, because he saw Thomas as a thinker, a questioner. Never took anything on face value. And this is who John Peel was, and that's why he thought so much of Thomas. This was an ex-vicar, and yet he needed that opportunity to question, to think. And he saw that in Thomas. And yes, we're so unfair to Thomas, aren't we? He's had a bad press for the last 2,000 years. His name's even sort of entered into English language in a way, because we talk about doubting Thomas when we're describing somebody. Our faith is not an unreasonable faith. It's based on evidence. God has given us minds and wants us to use them. I'll say that again. Our faith is not an unreasonable faith. It's based on evidence. God has given us minds and wants us to use them. So it's not unreasonable for Thomas to want evidence. The rest of the disciples had seen, he wanted the same. Let's just stop for a moment and step into that room where the disciples were hiding. They were in fear and were just clinging to each other for comfort. They were going through the same emotions as Thomas. And then Jesus arrives in their midst. He recognizes their fear, and so his first words are, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." He shows them his hands and his feet, and they are overwhelmed with joy. They have their proof that Jesus is alive. Then Jesus goes on to commission them, breathing the Holy Spirit into them. He also again says, "Peace be with you." This would have been quite a moment. How they must have jumped about with glee as they told Thomas all about it. Of course, Thomas had one of his Eeyore moments. He too needed to see, to believe. Well, how would you have felt if your friends had told you about the wonderful time that they'd had in worship and how they'd really met with God? They'd had a new experience of God's presence, a real sense of peace. Wouldn't you feel that you wish you'd been there to experience this too? When Jesus appears again, he uses the phrase again, "Peace be with you." And then turns to Thomas to offer himself for examination. Thomas reacts by not touching Jesus' wounds, but saying, "My Lord and my God." He is the only person in the Gospels to refer to Jesus as God. In 1943... way before my time, of course. It was. Dorothy L. Sayers, I'm sure many of you have heard of her, created a series of dramatic readings for the life of Christ to be broadcast on radio for BBC. They've since been published under the title The Man Born to be King. For each of the plays, Sayers offers notes on the characters and the way they should be read. And she wrote this about Thomas's profession: "It is unexpected but extraordinarily convincing that the one absolutely unequivocal statement in the whole gospel of the divinity of Jesus should come from doubting Thomas." I'll say that again. "It is an unexpected but extraordinarily convincing that the one absolutely unequivocal statement in the whole gospel of the divinity of Jesus should come from doubting Thomas." It's the only place where the word God is used of him without qualification of any kind and in the most unambiguous forms of words. And this is said not ecstatically or with a cry of astonishment, but with a flat conviction, as one acknowledges evidence like 2 and 2 are 4, or the sun is in the sky. "You are my Lord and my God." I would think that each of us at times have doubts. For that reason, I think it's helpful to remember the incredulity of Thomas has done far more for us than the good faith of Mary. Think on that. Our faith has to be based on a firm foundation, and Jesus realised that Thomas needed that confirmation. Once Thomas got the evidence he needed, he simply said, "My Lord and my God," just like Abraham and others before him in that passage that we heard earlier. Thomas, out of all the disciples, recognised that he was talking to the living God. He believed. When the Bible uses the term belief, it means more than just knowing. A better translation for belief results in action. When Thomas believed, it drove him to his knees to confess, "My Lord and my God." But Thomas wasn't simply an intellectual assent to the proposition that Jesus rose from the dead. In fact, church history tells us that Thomas died for his faith as a missionary in India. In our reading today, what Thomas asked for was very reasonable, and so Jesus gave him what he needed for his faith. There are times when we need a special touch from God. It's not a sin to be sceptical. What sin is to go on disbelieving when you're given the evidence. It strikes me that however close we walk with God, we will have doubts and questions. And that's okay. God gave us our minds to think. We are not a load of little robots to do God's bidding. We are thinking human beings. God meets us in a unique way that is meant for each person, for each one of us, for who we are. The Gospels are written down so that those who haven't seen can believe. The number of people I've read about who've read the Bible in order to disprove Jesus, only to meet with him through the words there and realise Jesus is alive. I suppose you might have realised as I talked that to me Thomas is a bit of a hero too. I've always questioned everything, always wanted proof, and it took me a long time to believe and accept the message of the Bible, even though I'd gone to church from a very young age. It was only after I married and came to live in Biddulph that I began to understand through the teaching of this church. I believe that the wonderful message of Thomas is that God meets us where we are, who we are. He sees us as individuals who he created and meets us in our questioning and our searching. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that you have made each one of us as individuals, that no two are exactly the same, and yet you know how to meet with us in all our questions, our thoughts, and all the things we want to know, that you meet us so that we can know and understand you. and so that we can say of Jesus, my Lord and my God. Amen.